thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jimmy, I've logged on early. I am ready to go. You may release the hounds, as we like to say, at 617-779-0985. The crew today is Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. Enough of the pleasantries. We got Marshall Hook in the update studio. We give some opening takes, and as the calls are loading up, we give you an opening thought, and then we go to you. So I will go first. Since
no, I'm ready to go if you're still getting set up, but you go ahead.
I'm ready to go, so I'm going to go. All right, you may have heard the tweet, the announcement today from the Celtics. Kyrie Irving will undergo a minimally invasive procedure tomorrow to alleviate irritation in his left knee. We'll talk a lot about this today. I think there's obviously short-term implications, long-term implications. To me, what sort of interests me and is easily the most important facet of it overall is Kyrie Irving and his long-term future. And, you know, just a thought, you know, in a nutshell, is he damaged goods? Is that too strong to say that he's damaged goods, or this is going to be an issue for him his entire career, and does this prevent him from being the man you need him to be, the player that you need him to be? And to me, that's the question here. But as we get into that conversation, and again, this is my opening take, this is not bad luck, Celtics fans. This is not like beyond their control. And what I mean by that is, this is a guy with a existing chronic knee issue. This is a guy that has had...
I think people knew the history.
What's that?
I think people knew the history.
Okay, so I'm reminding them. I'm reminding them because I think the inclination here is to say, well, they couldn't have planned for this. Boy, what bad luck. Gordon Hayward. Just think, if we had Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward was bad luck. Gordon Hayward was bad luck. That's a guy with no injury history. You'll understand what I'm doing here in a second, Jim, and that is that they traded for a guy with a bad knee, and now he's down with a bad knee. This was part of the calculus with the trade that I think too many people ignored. I think too many of the green teamers were really quick to say, "What you did? Ha ha! Isaiah Thomas bad hip. You took him. Ha 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 ha! You took Isaiah Thomas with his bad hip. Ha 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 ha! You suck. Stupid Cavs. Stupid Cavs." When you took on someone with a bad injury history too, or with a risky injury history too, and this is not bad luck. This is not Gordon Hayward snapping his ankle. This is a guy with a chronically bad knee having a knee problem. And
yeah, you shouldn't cry about it. This shouldn't be that big of a surprise.
All I'm saying is, don't treat it like it's bad luck. This ain't bad luck. There wasn't a specific play, right? I mean, this isn't like Gordon Hayward going up and Jay Crowder undercutting him and snapping his ankle. This didn't happen on one play. This is a chronic existing thing, and that's what he's going down with. This was not bad luck. That's my opening take, Murray. What's yours?
As you've already heard, Patriots, one of 13 teams that showed up to the University of San Diego to scout quarterback Johnny Manziel. And as I stated yesterday, as I have before, the Patriots should consider taking a flyer on him. And I already feel like, at least based on social media feedback, there's this misconception, thanks to you and Maz labeling me as Dr. Weed, and from our collective lost night in Minneapolis.
Oh, I never even drew the line. We're going to score some weed.
Yeah, no, because
you score some drugs from this guy.
Because of the Dr. Weed label and our collective lost night in Minneapolis, it's, yeah, Murray, you only want Manziel because he potties.
Yeah.
Wrong. No, I want him because I think he can play. I think his talent trumps his troubled past, and I believe in second chances. Plus, I don't want the Patriots wasting a pick on a quarterback in the fourth round. Like, it's about surrounding Brady with talent in the remaining time left. But if you don't take my word for it, I felt so good about this column today. Mike Reese, ESPN Boston. I think most Patriots fans trust the word of Mike Reese, right?
Yes.
Here's why he writes. I won't read the part where he says why it won't happen. That doesn't help my argument. But here's what Mike Reese says about potentially signing Johnny Manziel for the Patriots and why it could happen. They once signed Tim Tebow, who brought with him a whole other level of attention as the number three quarterback. If they're willing to do it with Tebow, why not Manziel? Huh, I brought up that same thing yesterday. Belichick often thinks outside the box. The Super Bowl and Malcolm Butler. Well, that's one way of putting it, Mike. The Patriots have 10 former first-round picks on their roster, 7 of whom entered the NFL with other teams, as they traditionally target players with unique traits and pedigree. Manziel checks that box. And if he is truly committed, the presence of a former first-round pick trying to work his way up from the bottom of the barrel could be a positive add to the locker room dynamic. And again, the quarterback room in New England is short on a third option right now. Hell of a third option. I think he's a better option than Brian Hoyer. They should seriously consider signing this
guy. You're still all in on Johnny Manziel. Marshall Hook, what's your take?
I think it's pretty well known in these parts that one of my favorite players of all time was David Ortiz.
Oh, my God. So he's being sarcastic in case you don't know. Like, most people don't know. Marshall Hook hates David Ortiz.
Love that guy. He was asked by Boston.com to talk about the upcoming baseball season and who he would pick to win the American League East. And I think it's important to note that he recently confirmed he is still on the Red Sox payroll. So this is a Red Sox employee asked who is going to win the division in which the Red Sox play. His answer, the Yankees are the one to beat in 2018. And why? They pretty much stacked the lineup with more power. I don't think anyone else in the division can compete with that. So here's my reading of that. He, too, is upset that they didn't get Giancarlo Stanton. David Ortiz, Red Sox employee, agrees with me and pretty much everyone in the world other than the Red Sox front office that they should have gotten Giancarlo Stanton and that J.D. Martinez is a shell of a hitter compared to him.
You excited, about the Red Sox going into this year, Marshall?
No.
You're not? No. You just don't believe in the team?
I believe they have a really good starting pitcher and a pretty good closer and a potentially better than average lineup if doubles are your thing. Great defense. But that's it.
So, still not a believer. Those are opening takes, as promised. Right to your phones. Mike in Worcester wants to lead off with the Kyrie Irving injury. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say I've had screws taken out of my leg and hip. And,
can't do this.
You know, this is what we're talking about. They're removing a screw that held his repaired kneecap together, which is healed. And the reason they're taking it out is because it's irritating his tendons that go his patella tendon, probably.
Okay, Mike, thank you for the call. I can't listen to your we're not doing that. We're not sure they're taking the screws out. Screws are in there.
What's the verbiage again?
Minimally invasive.
Okay, so Tony Maz's report so far to this point has been spot on. And the question, though, is, so Maz said the other day, he's not feeling right, which was sort of obvious. He's going to see a specialist in the next couple of days. He has screws in his knees. If they have to take out the screws, he's probably done for the year. That was Maz's report. Yesterday he goes to see the specialist. Today it's announced by the Celtics that Irving will undergo a minimally invasive procedure tomorrow to alleviate irritation in his left knee. You could read on the face of that's the screws coming out. I'm not sure that that's the case. We're not sure that that's the case. There may be something they are able to do where the screws stay in, because if the screws come out, he's done.
But if that was the case, I think this would read more ominously if the screws weren't going to be coming out.
If the screws were coming out, he'd probably be done, and I think they'd be able to more definitively say it. Is there something they can do in between doing nothing and taking the screws out, meaning going in and giving it a shot of castor oil, you know what I mean? Like lubricating it, doing something in there that will alleviate the discomfort from the screws.
Yeah, but what do most of these professional athletes have done nowadays? And I just looked it up. Isaiah Thomas had the platelet-rich plasma injection around December of last year, you know, with that in that hip, in the groin injury that kept bothering him.
So he, and they call, is that the PRP?
That's the PRP. I'm looking at it here. December of, December 16 going into 17. Celtics, still, he's had this before, groin injury and in the hip. Platelet-rich plasma injection.
So we got this PRP injection. And it allowed him to play at a high level for the next couple months. Now, ultimately, it came home to roost, and he had to shut himself down. But if he had that injection in December, he played well into April, May, right?
Marcus Morris just had it done in December. David Price has had it done before. This is what all these guys
do. David Price has had it done to what?
The
elbow.
The elbow.
Okay, so this is a possibility of what's going on, and if it allows him to play through it, it allows him to play through it. I think if they were getting the screws out, they'd just shut him down and that'd be it, right? I think that...
So listen to this. All right, so this is about, real quick, on Marcus Morris, right? So Marcus Morris back in December, PRP, platelet-rich plasma injection, injection a process batch of player's own blood that catalyzes tissue healing in the injection site, typically used in knees to help meniscus tears. Now, obviously, there's been a longer issue there with Kyrie Irving, and it was a fractured kneecap, but... Typically used in knees, I have to think this is maybe what's going on here with Kyrie.
Okay.
Minimally invasive.
All right, so we continue. As we find things out, we will let you know, and we can discuss the ramifications, short-term and long. Again, this is an agenda-free Friday. Everything's on the table. We've started to follow the heavyweight division a little bit, so I'll allow this call. Will in the car, something on Anthony Joshua. Go ahead, Will.
How you doing, guys? I heard a few weeks back you guys were talking about the possible super fight of Walker versus Joshua.
Wilder.
Wilder. But now I was just wondering your guys' thoughts now that Dana White in the UFC just offered Joshua a $500 million multi-fight deal, which basically will cancel out this super fight that I was actually hyped up for, too. I mean, I'm more of a UFC fan than boxing, but if there's a good super fight, I'll watch
it. Hold on. Joshua was offered $500
million? $500 million for a multi-fight deal, and I guess him and Dana White were expected to sit down this week to discuss the terms.
Billy Lanny, he's our fight doctor. Have you heard that? $500 million?
Didn't hear the value, but what I heard is Dana White's interest in boxing would be signing his own promotion with Joshua being his headline boxer.
To box, not to MMA. Oh, fine. Fine with me. Go ahead. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you want to... I mean, I would prefer the box... To me, the MMA stuff does nothing for me. It just doesn't. Sorry. I've tried it. It does nothing for me. So I don't want Joshua Wilder. I don't want those guys doing MMA.
Could be worth north of $500 million. Okay. That's the wording.
But this is as a boxer.
Yes.
Not as a mixed martial artist. And, okay, fine. I don't care who represents Joshua. I don't care who represents Wilder. And if they take him over to MMA eventually, I don't know. Like, I don't want that. I want the heavyweight division back, and that brings boxing back, and I want boxing back. I don't want MMA back. All due respect to my martial arts friends, I get nothing out of seeing two guys roll around on the mat. Nothing. Zero, zero, zero. Nothing. Could care less about their spider pin move, air to fakie, kung fu grip. I don't care. I could care less. It's not what I'm doing. I need to see a boxing match and two big men pound each other in the face. So as long as Joshua and Wilder are doing that, I'm happy. Agenda Free Friday is off and running. Back to your phones after this.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
He's talked to a couple of different people, but nothing concrete. He's still got a couple more people to talk to, from what I've been told. But I haven't talked to him. I've missed him on text. I haven't talked to him on the phone yet. From everything I've been told, it's still the same. We're monitoring him, and he's got the knee soreness. And until I'm told further, it's day to day.
I mean, I want him back. I want to run. Like I, even though you're not winning a championship, and I've heard people say this. Like, so why rush him back if you're not going to win it all anyway this year? Well, I don't know. If you're not going to win it all in a given year, and in the NBA, you can say that about 28 teams every year. Like, this is especially a question for the NBA. Because in the other sports, if you just make the tournament, you have a shot, pretty much. But it doesn't work that way in the NBA. There's two or three teams that have a chance and no one else does. So basically, you know, 90% of the league is not going to win a championship, and they know they're not going to win a championship. So what should those teams do? Should the Bucks not play Giannis in the playoffs just because they don't want to risk injury because they're not winning at all? So why? Yeah, just shut him down. I mean, no. If you have a chance to go to the NBA Finals, you play him and you want to go to the NBA Finals. There's value in that for you.
Well, especially with all the youth on this team in particular, it'd be good for them to go as deep as they possibly can for guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
But there's a million reasons you'd want to go. If you're setting yourself up as the destination to land that next guy, whether it's Anthony Davis or someone else, if there's another max guy to come, if there's another shoe to drop, that player has to want to come here, like Kyrie wanted to come here. And if you show that you're the second team, that you're legitimately the second team, you are the team in the East, and you are among the two or three teams right there challenging Golden State, then that enhances your rep as a destination. So I think there's tremendous value to playing and playing Kyrie Irving. And I don't care if he misses the beginning of next year. Why put too much value on the beginning of next year? So look, it's just all a long way of saying I want him to play. I want him to play if he can. But that's not as important as the second piece. Is this something he's going to be dealing with his whole career and is going to diminish his career? You said Chris Gasper brought it up on the weekend. Is it Derrick Rose? Is this a knee injury where you're just never the same because of the knee? Are you concerned about that part?
No, because Rose, immediately you could see he had lost a step. Kyrie looks like the same guy. You see, he still has the same athleticism. He still has the same moves. And that's the best part of his game. It's just going to be something I think he's going to have to continue to deal with. You're never going to get a full season out of this guy, even after he has this procedure after this season is over. It really comes down to risking further injury. You know, if they go in and do this, whatever this minimally invasive procedure is today, and they see, you know what, the screws have to come out, then that sucks. They're going to have to come out. I'd rather them do that and have them, you know, have them save him from himself. Because obviously Kyrie wants to play. I think the team is concerned.
I liked your speculation earlier. This is PRP injection. It's a lube job. Lube them up.
That's what all these guys do.
And see if it works. And it worked for Isaiah for a couple months.
It's worked for Marcus Morris.
It worked like genius for, you know, I think this is what Peyton Manning said he did. You know, excuse me. Who the hell knows? But was real. But that's what he said he did. This is what Tiger Woods was doing with his doctor. You know, the platelet rich.
It's the professional athlete oil change.
Yes.
That's all it is now.
It's a lube job. So try it for sure. All right. Big Jim Murray wants Johnny Manziel on the Patriots. Robert in Redding, do you?
I want Manziel on the Patriots. Felger, love the show. Murray, I totally agree with you. If he's sober and clean, this is a great story. I mean, he's got a very, very good-looking wife, so he's doing something right. I think you should warm up to the idea, Felger, unless you got, like, a better idea. We get to keep our draft picks. If it works out, it's, you know, a great story.
So I'm not opposed to it. He's a little short for my liking. He feels a little too much of a college quarterback for my liking. You know, and again, I sound hypocritical because a couple of years ago, I thought the NFL was going in that direction. I like these running quarterbacks, but I was wrong. You know, it's clearly not. Clearly hasn't. I think you need more mobility than you needed in the past, but the college quarterback, I thought there'd be a place for Tim Tebow, for Christ's sake. So, you know, no. But Johnny Manziel, like Baker Mayfield, a little short, a little too much run-aroundy, not enough.
Yeah, but it's worked for Russell Wilson, and I think he's the best comp.
It's true.
And, I mean, this guy played SEC, almost single-handedly beat Alabama in 2012. I mean, the only real weapon he had there was Mike Evans, who's now in Tampa, but... I mean, that game, if you remember it, it was like national news at the time. And he had a couple of wow moments, albeit only a few, with the Browns. I think the kid can play, just whether or not he can keep his nose clean.
So, you know, he's not my kind of guy stylistically for the NFL, but why not? You know, you traded the next guy. There's no one else there behind Brady. You might as well throw a few things against the wall. I have no problem with that. And as a talk show host, Johnny Manziel in Boston?
That'd be perfect.
It's actually the perfect place for him. Come to someplace boring as hell, dude, where they don't let you party. And like it's in that way, it's sort of perfect. You'll stay sober here, no problem. Mike and Malden on the Celts. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hey, on the Celts, but real quickly, how is it a good story if Johnny Manziel comes here? It's like some rich kid from Texas with an entitled background who's been nothing but a dingus.
It's an interesting story. Well, I mean,
interesting, maybe good, no.
Well,
really quickly in the Celtics, you know, you have to think after they purged their entire medical staff of Eddie Lacerte, who'd been there forever, Brian Dew, who's been there forever, and now this season have had a rash of injuries. And you're right, some of them have been freak accidents like Hayward. But, like, the meniscus thing with Theis, that can be a maintenance issue. The thumb injury with Smart, that can be a maintenance issue that's going to leave these guys more susceptible to injury. Do you think that there's any regret over there that they purged their entire training staff and now have had the worst season of injury ever?
No, that's an interesting thought. I didn't think of that. It was hard not to think of that purge being related to Isaiah. But... I don't know. Was Isaiah did the way it go with Isaiah just prove he really was hurt, and whatever they did there in the middle of the year actually got him through it. And so I mean the
player has to take some responsibility there too. He wanted to play.
Absolutely. And oh, by the way, is that what's going on with Kyrie Irving? And I think this is Jimmy Stewart's point, or James and Brighton, our emailer. I don't know, James. Is it Jimmy Stewart or James and Brighton?
Whatever works for today.
He writes, well, I don't know if James and Brighton wants to be protected. James and Brighton writes that I believe Kyrie wants to play and wants to push through the pain to the postseason. Irving sees a chance to knock LeBron out. The Celtics, they don't want another IT situation where the player is pushing through an injury, needs a medical procedure during the offseason, and could be lost until December or January. The Celtics believe they're adding another max player this offseason, and the real window to a championship is next season. And it starts with camp. If the Celtics shut Irving down, it means they 100% can shut Hayward down, which is a story unto itself. Hayward continues to push a comeback, and the Celtics don't want him to. The Celtics want Hayward as well at 100% for next season for the exact reasons stated above. So
I've learned to take emails from James and Brighton that are related to the Celtics when they start with I believe.
Me too.
I've learned to take those very, very seriously.
The I believe ones, you know, particularly.
Yeah.
I believe.
Almost as if the information is coming from somewhere.
So Kyrie sees a chance to get at LeBron this year.
Oh, it's totally what it is.
And so he wants to play through this thing. The Celtics look at it and go, well, the thing that I dislike, which is, well, we're not winning it all anyway this year. Our real window starts next year. So just, it's all just shut her down and, you know, you'll get LeBron next year.
But if he risks further injury, that's the right way to think. And I know that sucks and would be robbed of a deep run here. And look, I think the Celtics could actually, you know, they could get over that Cavs hump this year. It'd be awesome.
If you want a positive from all of this,
I believe that it would be a good opportunity for the kids to get some time. Tatum, Brown, see what they can do in a series, and that helps the youth movement move up a peg or trade them if you want to get that next max guy.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday continues. Bill in Springfield with the Bruins Thought. Hi, Bill.
Hey guys, how are you today?
Good.
So, this whole thing with your commercial, this reeks of Don Sweeney to me. I mean, who thought they were going to be this good? Did Don Sweeney think they were going to be this good? I mean, what moves did he make in the offseason?
Well, Sweeney admitted being really
concerned. Let's get a sniper.
Yeah, he admitted being really concerned at the beginning of the year. So, I don't think anyone felt they were doing anything, but I don't know. Who was actually writing him off on October 16th, Bill? Me.
I mean, I thought they weren't going to be this good. I didn't expect it. I mean, it's just amazing that I couldn't believe the commercial. It was too much. That's all I got, guys.
Okay, babe, thanks for the call. Was it Sweeney or Neely? Was that Neely's chance to get back? Whoever it was, it's actually, as much as it hurt in the short term, it was actually pretty funny.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupon. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. Yeah, the couple things. Just right off the top, I think that we all need to pump the brakes a little bit on Johnny Manziel. I mean, I saw some of the highlight videos of him throwing. It's a great story, this and that. But do you really want that guy running around here? It'll be a complete clown show, you know, with the media and all this and that. I mean, maybe the guy has changed, maybe he hasn't, but please. Number two, you guys, I'm watching you for the first 10 minutes of the show, you guys are rubbing down that place like you read about.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you guys, is it really that bad there?
Yeah,
because of one particular employee who shall remain nameless, but this particular employee likes to, when sitting in this chair, take his shoes off for the duration of the show, and this particular employee decided to have fish for lunch. If there's one thing you should never do in any office that you work at, out of respect, you know, respect for your coworkers, is to have fish, stinky fish for lunch.
Scott Zolak.
Oh, who? What?
I'm sorry.
So, so just to answer this, one is I get more anal by the day. It's really bad. The OCD. It's like consuming my body hook. So it's partly on me, but I will also say, two things. If you don't understand how the radio station works, like one show leaves and the other show comes on. So for 4 hours, Beatle, who love him to death, but for 4 hours, Beatle is like this on this mic. His lips and his spittle and his tongue and his fingers, which are the dirtiest part of your body, the fingers, are fingering the mic. He's rubbing everything. His mouth is right here. And now I come on 30 seconds later and put my mouth and fingers on the same thing. That's dirty, man. So you got to wipe that down. I'll just say thirdly, have you ever noticed how many sick days that midday show takes?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, I'm not telling you that they're not sick. I'm not telling you that they're faking it. They're not. Those guys wouldn't fake it.
But they don't practice the cleanliness of this particular program.
All I'm telling you is they seem to get sick a lot. So there's a lot of bugs flying around here. I take that seriously. That feels like, just for some reason, bad luck, whatever. Maybe they don't wipe down like they should. But there's a lot of... There's a lot of illness on that midday show.
Yeah, and Hook, you've worked in radio. They're notoriously filthy, all these studios. You can't open windows, so you can't get fresh air in and out. Just gross.
And I've never wiped down once. Not in here, ever. You guys are a bunch of...
Well, that's what you are flirting with death, Hook. That's your choice.
You're the wild card, Hook.
Frank the Tank on the Bruins. Hi, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Look, real quick on the Bruins and the NHL. I still stand by my thought from the beginning of the season. I do not think that this is the year that the Bruins are going to go all the way. It would be great if they did. Don't get me wrong. I still hold true to what I said at the beginning of the season. Second round, good effort. I think if they run into Washington or Tampa, they're going to have a problem. I think they need a little more experience. Now, with the NHL, Mike, and touching on what something Tony said the other day that really pissed me off, you know, the cool grinding game, the physical game, the fighting aspect of the game of hockey is what made it great, what separated it from all the other sports. The NHL really needs to come down and figure out the goalie equipment, trim that down a little bit more, get some more offense in the game. I love speed just like anybody else. But what I've noticed in the past year and a half, some of these games, and this Fakakta Wednesday night rivalry, there are no more rivalries anymore.
So true.
The game needs a little more hatred being brought back in, just like how Tony wants it in baseball. Hockey is missing that now. that some of the games are...
Frank, let me just stop you there. It's they're missing it.
I don't think it needs... the scoring's up.
No, scoring's up. I don't know why he went on that thing there. Scoring is up. The puck's in the net this year, feels like.
But they need to allow more self-policing like they used to.
That's just not the trend. Believe me, I would love it to go back to the old days. I'll take the old days. Never mind just, 6 years ago. You know, when the Bruins won the Cup in 11, they fought plenty. That was a physical game and a fighting team. And, I'll just take that. I don't need to go back to 1976. I'll just go back to 2011. I'd be happy with that. The league's not going there. No league is, Frank. What, you expect to... You can't touch the quarterback. You can't, you can't do anything anywhere. And these mandatory concussion protocols, all these things, and what, the NHL is going to go back to more fighting and more physicality? No, pal, it's going the other way.
So it's a shame, though, because this...
Well, so either accept it or don't. I mean, no one's going back, unfortunately.
But I also think that sport is such a niche sport that they're not going to be bringing in a lot of casual viewers and the casual sports fan. They should really try to cater to their audience, and I think their audience is clamoring for that kind of stuff.
Preaching to the choir, man. I'm just trying to be realistic. I don't think it's happening. Peter in Jamaica playing. Hi, Peter.
Okay, so how you doing? I hated the Kyrie trade. So I'm not just jumping on it, but he does not deserve a max contract. We knew about his knee before he came here. The future of the Celtics is not Kyrie Irving. It's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Do not sign Kyrie Irving to a max contract. That would be a disaster.
Okay. He's obviously worth the max contract. When you get someone that talented, you have to roll the dice. However, so I would give him the max deal. However, the point he sort of makes, I think it's okay to go back now and assess the trade based on this. And not enough emphasis was put on it at the time. At the time, you all, the Green Team Nation, looked at Cleveland like, idiot, you took on damaged goods. Idiot. Isaiah can't play. He's got a bad hip. You're dumb. Completely ignoring the fact that Kyrie Irving's never played a full season either, never even close, has had chronic knee problems his entire career, and is 25 and already has had debilitating, serious knee issues. Completely ignoring it, folks. And now here he is. He can't even get through his first year here. And nothing happened to him. Another thing I just got to tell you. It's not like someone into his knee.
The cumulative effect of playing.
This isn't Gordon Hayward. This isn't Jay Crowder undercutting him in some sort of fluke thing where he snapped something. This was a pre-existing injury and a condition coming home to roost. So absolutely put that on to your assessment of this trade when we go back and look at it. And I would still do it 10 times out of 10. I'm just telling you that not enough emphasis was put on that when you made that trade. There was risk there coming back with Kyrie in the form of his injury. You were giving up damaged goods, but you weren't exactly getting back Cal Ripken either. And here we are. And hopefully this is just a phase of his career that he, quote unquote, grows out of, or he gets these screws out eventually, the knee repairs, and he'll be fine. Hopefully that's what's going on. But
I would still give him the max deal, and I don't regret the trade. He just turned 26 today. You're not going to get a full season out of the guy. You should have known based on the injury history. But has he lost a step? Absolutely not. It's not like Derrick Rose. Wait 4 years when he's 30. But for now, no. He deserves that kind of deal.
Mike and Methuen on the Bees on Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I think anybody that wants to play Ryan Donato over Jake DeBrusk at this point is crazy. Jake DeBrusk has a game tailor-made for the playoffs. The guy, he gets into the corners, he gets dirty. He creates turnovers in his own end and in the offensive end too. I just until Ryan Donato learns to play a little bit more like Brian Gionta, these little guys who can sort of throw their body around a little bit better. I don't think he's nothing more than a specialist in the playoffs.
Well, let me tell you one thing. Yeah, you mentioned Gionta. One thing Donato does that Gionta does right out of the chute, which is he goes to the net. Donato plays in front of the net, man. That's rare for a little guy who just came in the league.
Yeah, but he's a huge liability in his own zone. He can't. I remember a couple. I think it was his first game. He got muscled off the puck pretty regularly in his own zone, and I just don't think. I don't know if you're going to get big minutes in the playoffs doing that. I'd rather DeBrusk play in there, especially if they're going to end up having to shuffle lines around in the middle of the game because Donato's not holding up his end of the bargain.
I'll tell you what, I just think that's an interesting call. I mean, DeBrusk has been good there all year next to Krejci. Good. It's not like he's been great, like we're talking about rookie of the year or anything like that, but he's been good. Solid. But it just feels to me like Donato, well, it doesn't feel like, I think it's safe to say Donato has higher offensive ceiling. He's got a better shot. He's a more dangerous offensive player.
and you just a more skilled, dangerous scorer with Krejci and Rick Nash. It's just hard to, I don't know.
It's hard to talk yourself out of that.
Tough call. It's a tough call for them, but that's what tonight, it's a good problem to have. Long commercial-free segment is next. Johnny Manziel, is it really just because you want to do drugs with him, Murray?
No, it's not that. Again, this is the misconception because, yeah, oh, yeah, Dr. Weed wants him here because he wants to party with Manziel.
Dr. Weed wants Manziel. Do you? We'll do that next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap from Patrick Lewis. Four-man Alabama rush. Got him.
No, they didn't.
Oh, my gracious.
Yep.
How about that?
Can't teach that, can you? And you can't defend that.
When you have an opportunity to stop a playmaker like Manziel, you got to get him. And this time, Alabama, almost a fumble of the ball. That's what kind of threw everybody off on the play. He almost loses it, re-catches it, and keeps his wits about him.
So, Jim Murray, for your hype sound on Johnny Manziel, you're back to a play in college.
Yeah, I got to go back 6 years to when he single-handedly beat Alabama. And they were the number one team in the country, but man, was that fun to watch at the time. Look, he threw for 8,000 yards and ran for 2,000 in 2 years at A&M.
Ooh, neat. How many did he run for?
2,000. I know that doesn't matter.
Again,
as a 20 and 21-year-old in the best conference in college football, that still matters to me. I know you don't give a rat's ass about that stuff.
Oh, so. I sure don't. And the running thing, I see he feels like too much of a runner. I think mobility is important. I think it's never been more important, but it's the, you know, the Russell Wilson mobility, where I think he could run every time, but he doesn't. He runs out of the pocket to keep throwing the ball downfield. What does Manziel do?
No, Manziel, he improved as a pocket passer in that second year at A&M. I mean, granted, it got a little loose, and he was with the Browns, which is a bad organization, and he was a partier. It all went to hell. But I still think that the talent will trump the trouble with this kid if he's keeping his nose clean, and he's cleaned up his act, and he's now going to be committed.
So, look, bring him in. Fine with me. You know, beggars can't be choosers. You traded the future. You put yourself in this position.
As I mentioned, and Mike Reese mentioned in his column today, if they've done this with a sideshow before in Tim Tebow, and you'll have the TMZs of the world showing up here, you can do it with Johnny Manziel, who can actually, you know, what's the important thing quarterbacks need to do? Throw the football, unlike Tebow.
But again, to me, it's like, you know, beggars can't be choosers. When you look at it, they haven't really made a first or second round pick in the last 2 years, or they don't have a player from the first or second round who's made their roster and made an impact. Cyrus Jones is the only second round pick on the team from the last 2 years, and they have no first-round picks on this team from the last 2 years. That's a massive gap. That's a massive talent gap. And if you draft a quarterback, you're not really addressing the roster, right? They have so many needs.
Linebacker, right. Offensive line, tight end.
That's sort of a separate entity. So you're in a position where you need to use all those picks you can possibly use. So, you know what? It's time to take a flyer. You know, it's flyer time. Manziel's free. No draft picks, no money, and so like the Patriots are a team that should be doing that because they're a smart organization that has rehabbed guys in the past, and so they should be taking that kind of chance. I don't have a problem with them. So I mean, I don't have a problem with the flyer. I just don't have much faith that he can be the guy. That's all. I just don't think he's a chance.
No, I think he's a better backup option than Brian Hoyer. And with his age, you know, maybe you can mold him into being a decent starter as a bridge to whatever you end up drafting in the next couple of years, who will hopefully be the quarterback after Brady.
The off-field stuff I don't care about insofar as if he falls off the wagon and leaves the reservation, they get rid of him. Like, it's not going to be, I mean, that's not going to be an issue. Like, you know, if one strike and you're out, I'm sure is going to be the policy there. Fitzy and Quincy, what do you got on the Celtics? You're on Agenda Free Friday.
Hey, I don't think Danny should give up on this season. You're only one injury away from Golden State, and you're right in there. You can't give up. And another thing, same thing could happen with Brady. He's probably going to go down with an injury. We're all going to vanish, and it's over. But you really got to look towards 2020. There's some free agents coming out there, some young guys and a lot of old washed-up dudes.
Okay, well, you just gave me, like, you know, three different things. One piece that I find interesting is that Kyrie's pushing himself, meaning the reason this is even an issue is that Kyrie is pushing to come back. And why is he pushing to come back?
Because he knows that LeBron and the Cavaliers are vulnerable, and the Celtics have a legitimate shot of beating them in a 7-game series, especially if they have home court.
And Kyrie wants to put it up on LeBron.
Of course he does. And I can't blame him there. But if he risks re-injuring this knee or risking further injury to the knee, the team has to save him from himself. They have to.
And the whole piece of Hayward as well, as James and Brighton points out, our emailer there, that by shutting down Irving, they also effectively say to Hayward, well, you're shut down. We know you want to come back, but there's no point now.
Yeah, because...
And that, so, again, the implication there that Hayward's been a little bit of a pain in their ass about wanting to come back himself. So this is really, this by the Celtics trying to shut down Irving, they're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, because from what I understand, James and Brighton believes that there is a growing issue there between that Gordon Hayward and the team, because Hayward desperately wants to be back, and like, they're trying to save him from himself in that aspect, too. They have to think longer term here with the age of these guys and these injuries, and I don't blame him for that.
617-779-0985 is your number. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Pete in Delaware on Johnny Manziel. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, thoughts on this is, you got to bring Manziel in. Like you said, it's just a flyer. You don't lose anything on it. But, you know, Brady put a little pressure on this team with his comments, Tom versus time, what are we doing this for, whether he's going to be back or not. And I was thinking New England may have to draft one, so I'd rather bring Manziel in, and like you said, Mike, help the roster. But at the same time, Bill's ego would love to bring this kid in. Imagine if he could resurrect this kid's career and also take some media attention away from Tom. I just think that's an interesting... I don't know. I think an interesting dynamic on top of it.
Yeah, I'm wondering where Bill's at. Because again, the team is saying to him, you have to go find the next quarterback and develop the next quarterback. And if could you blame Bill if he's sitting there going, I just did that. I just did it, guys.
How about adding that story to his legacy, though? That he brings in Manziel and he's the guy that resurrects Manziel's career.
I think as it relates to this, all Bill needs to prove is that, if you believe the storyline that Bill wants to prove, he's great on his own without Brady. Belichick has to win with anybody. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Manziel. I mean, maybe there would be, you get bonus points for rehabbing a guy that's such a disaster. But if Bill wins with any other quarterback, he proves the point. I don't need Brady. So that could be anyone. It doesn't need to be a basket case like Manziel, although, again, that would be extra points. But I wonder, again, how Bill's going to invest in the quarterback thing, because he did it. He put in 3.5 years with a guy. He nailed it. In his mind, he had the right guy in his mind. He had it all set to go the way you would draw it up in business school, the way you would draw it up in any well-run organization. We have the next guy for the next 10 years. We have to bite the bullet and say goodbye to the old one, go on with the new one, and we're set for the next 10. He did it all right. He did everything right. Invested all that time and nailed it, and the team said, nope, you can't do it. And how's Bill going to react to that?
Well, on the surface, it looks like he ain't even going to bother, because any of these pro days he's gone to, he's at Ohio State yesterday. The footage I see, oh, he's working out with a guy who's going to be the top quarterback. The day before in Georgia, he's working out with Roquan Smith, the linebacker. He's working out with defensive guys. So maybe behind the scenes, he's checking out some of these quarterbacks, but it don't look that way so far.
No, it's been his other guys who've been looking at the quarterbacks. Reading from the Globe on March 19th in Toledo, Nick Caserio, your personnel chief, was spotted watching quarterback Logan Woodside, another potential late-round pick. Woodside is smallish at 6'2", 201 pounds, but had a stellar junior season. His senior year wasn't quite as good, but he's still on plenty of teams' radar, apparently including New England. Then there was one more. The Patriots. Oh, yeah, this guy. The guy they're going to take, Richmond.
Kyle Oletta.
Yeah, Kyle Oletta, whose father played quarterback at Navy.
Yeah, and the uncle was a punter at Navy at one point, too.
Whose uncle was a special teamer at Navy. At the same time, Steve Belichick, Bill's dad, was at Navy. This is an automatic.
And Kyle Oletta also playing lacrosse as well.
And Kyle Oletta plays lacrosse?
Yeah.
I forgot. So this Richmond quarterback plays lacrosse. His dad played at Navy. His uncle was a special teamer at Navy while Steve Belichick was there. Is there any chance they're going to draft anyone else? But anyway, the Patriots had a scout, Patrick Stewart, in attendance to see quarterback Kyle Laletta, among others. According to ESPN's Mike Reese, Laletta has drawn many a comparison to Jimmy Garoppolo. So, again, Bill's not at these things. His other guys are at these things. And, I read this whole Globe piece about all the guys and the scouts that they have everywhere. I didn't read McDaniels being anywhere.
I haven't. And this is why I brought this up yesterday. I was probably going a little too hard on Belichick because, okay, here you are working with guys that you're not going to be able to draft. But my bigger issue, and the reason I brought it up, is where is Josh McDaniels? Because I've been led to believe, like most people have, that Josh McDaniels is going to be the next head coach of this team. I'd like to have him be in on some of these personnel decisions. You brought him back. Where the hell is he?
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.